guest this morning is Pastor Wilbur James of our sister congregation, the Chukis Church, comes to challenge us from the last book of the Bible this morning. Pastor?
Thank you, Jeff. And thank you, church, for giving me this opportunity again to come before you this morning and speak and share God's word to us. But before I go on, I didn't get up to share what I was thinking of for you to also remember in prayer. I have an unspoken request. It's a burden of mine, concern of mine, and God knows. And I just want you to remember. And it's this been on my heart since last week. And I pray that the Lord will work through what I've heard when people contacted me. And I just want you to remember in prayer. It's an unspoken one. Before we look into God's word, let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. We thank you for your love for us. And we thank you that we can come to your house and to worship you. And Lord, we know that you're in control of our lives. You're in control of the universe. And Lord, we do come to you with humble heart. And we know that we cannot do on our own. And we ask that you will come to our rescue. Many times we go through lives, the hard lives, and we go through trials and difficulties, and yet it reminds us the promise you give us in your word that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I thank you and praise you for in Christ's name I do pray. Amen. If you have your Bible and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. One of the churches that John wrote to and was inspired by God to write down these words to the churches. And this is one of the churches that God wants to talk to or address his concern to this church. The title of my message today is Fear Not, For I Am With You. It's an encouraging word from God himself, because he knew the hardships and trials this church go through in life. And let us, before we go on, we will look at the addressee of the letter, the person that received the letter from God. And we know that the church of Smyrna. But before I go on, I will just read to us those verses. Chapter 2, 11, or verses 8 to 11. I'll read from the American New Standard. And do the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. The Church of Smyrna. As I was kind of reading about this place, and it says that Smyrna is a seaport, very important city in that area. And at the same time, also a place or a city that produces a lot of that medicine they call from the tree they call myrrh, or for that type of medicine that they use for embalming the body. And also the place, the city, it was really well known for its beauty. All the sculptures and all the particles, they really shone in that place. And it's a really nice place and beauty by nature. And as we see that, as this letter was addressed to this church in Smyrna, and it gives us the idea where the church comes from, the word myrrh or Smyrna, from the word myrrh, and we get it from four things that we will see that's so important about that type of oil or the fragrance. First thing that is used for, it says a use for a consecration. You remember in the Old Testament, God told Moses to consecrate the tabernacle, consecrate himself and his sons, and consecrate the utensils in that tabernacle for God's purpose and for God's use. And he used that oil that mixed with myrrh to anoint the utensils and the tabernacle and Aaron and his sons. And so it's used for consecration, to prepare for God's purpose and for God's use. And so when I read and when I kind of thinking, this church, Smyrna, these people in this church in Smyrna, they were consecrated for God's use. That's why they when they go through all the trials and difficulties in life, but that was for God's use, to prepare them for God. The second use of that ointment or that thing is for purification. In the book of Esther, talks about the maidens when they were prepared to see the king. Then they were all prepared, anointed by this oil. They were prepared to see the king, purified, to be prepared so that they can come and see the king. And the Christians, the believers in Smyrna, were also prepared, purified, through trials, difficulties, before they can see, before they will see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 33, or 23, that's number 3, they use for the word, or for the oil, myrrh. You remember when Christ was on the cross? Then the Roman soldiers trying to give him the myrrh mixed with vinegar to numb his senses. But Christ rejected that. And I think it will also apply to the church that time. They were kind of church where they don't really want to compromise the truth of God. Even though a lot of things come into the church, but yet they stood for Christ's sake. Even though they go through all the trials and difficulties. Christ went through that all. And he did not want to compromise what God has already planned for him, to die on the cross and for you and for me. And the last usage for that oil is to embalm the body. In those ancient times, they used that myrrh, that medicine, for embalming. And what's that symbolized to the church or to us also today? Or to the church of Smyrna? It's a church of bitterness. They go through all bitterness circumstances in life. And yet, for the sake of their Savior, for God. And so that church experience bitterness, hardships, persecution, but they withstand or withstood all the trials. They were purified. They were tested for their God. And so when you go through life's troubles, do not be surprised, but to accept it, to welcome it into your heart. Who knows? Maybe that's how God will purify us, consecrated us for Himself, for Him alone. But many times we do not want. We want life that is easy. We want life that is just so pleasant for us to see and to experience. I think Faith Church, when you go through a lot these times, been looking for a pastor, but be patient. God will provide. If it's the right one, the right time, and for God's purpose and for His plan. And for each individual, I don't know what situation you go through in life. But God has a plan for you. As the title says, fear not, for I am with you always. So that's just a little bit about the church of Smyrna. And we look into the addresser, the person who addressed this church, and God Himself. First of all, He started out to display or give them His attributes. What God only has, but non-human being can have. First of all, He gives, he's the infinite God. I am the Omega, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first, and I am the last. And I was kind of thinking while I was reading these scriptures, and when I was meditating upon it, I said, I wonder why God used this. And by reading through all these verses, and I remember that this church is going through all the trials. And so God wants them to know that He's the beginning and He's the end. He's sovereign over time. So whatever goes between the beginning and the end, God knows. And He's overrule everything. He's above all. So wow. And that kind of gives us a sense of comfort and hope when we go through life's troubles, difficulties, and trials. We know that there is a God that we understand. There is a God that is the Omega, Alpha and Omega. It's the beginning and also is the end. So why we worry? And we have the God that is sovereign over all things, even of all troubles and trials. And then there is another attribute he keeps in those verse. He is an omnipotent God, that he is powerful. He conquered death. I died and I rose again. He wants to talk to the people of Smyrna, the Christians especially. When you go through trials and hardships and difficulties, even to the point of death. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the one who died and rose again. I overpower death. So maybe some of us experience like, I'm at the end of my rope. I'm done. And yet there's an encouragement from God's word. He even experienced death himself. But he's victoriously raised up from the dead and he lives again. And so death is not the end of our lives, Christians. Nowadays, we don't really go through martyred or persecution and died. Maybe only in the communist countries, they went through that. But praise God, we're in the country, United States, that we worship freely. But imagine if we are in the country that they persecuted us to the point of death. Are we willing to stand for God? Are we willing to hold on to the faith that we have for Christ? Or are we claiming that God is the Alpha and Omega, and is the beginning at the and also is the end, and also is the one who died and he rose again victoriously? And we thank God that we have the God that is very powerful. So that's the second attribute of God. It gives us in those verses. He's omnipotent God. The third attribute he gives in those verses says, is omniscience. That means he knows everything what's going on in the church of Smyrna. He even knows the devil, the accuser. It says, I know your tribulation. He talked to the Christians in Smyrna. I know you go through the heart-pressing situation in your life. The Greek word for tribulation in that verse, it says thlipsis, which means oppression, affliction, tribulation. Primary, it means oppressor or heart pressing. Thlipsis. Destitution. There is another Greek word that says penia. It says penia is referred to a state of not really wealthy, also poor, but that one, you can, a person who is in that state can work with his hand to find wealth. But this one, thlipsis, or thlipsis, it says destitution. Very had, you know, or you just have nothing. So these Christians in Smyrna, they're in this state. They just don't have nothing. Through the persecution they face in that city. You remember in that verse it talks about there was a group of Jewish people in that area or that church. They persecuted these Christians. Maybe to the point of they steal their possessions, or maybe they tell the government for them to tax, pay their tax, maybe even more higher tax. So these Christians end up nothing. they went through this persecution. Sometimes when I heard on the news about when Iran doesn't want to give in, and the U.S. and the European countries, they're trying to impose an embargo. Something that they will pressure Iran to give up or give in by cutting off maybe financial help and anything that Iran always get their help from. Maybe we can say this is how these Christians were facing. It's not by really put them in jail or getting like a whip and hit them, persecute them. But it talks about this is the way the people, this group of people, they think, they say they're Jewish and they're persecuting these Christians, this group of believers in the Church of Smyrna, to the point of even death. But these Christians, they hold on their faith, even though they face these trials and difficulties in their lives. I admire these Christians, even though maybe they're few, in this nice city, beautiful city. Maybe all these people were caring, or they're just so tuned to the beauty of this city, they forget about God. But praise God for such a group of Christians. They stood for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we? Stand for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of the society that really don't care about God. Maybe it's also a challenge to our churches, you know, Guam. Challenge to the faith of church, maybe challenge to the Chukis church. We will go and we will face difficulties in life, but how far we can go? Are we willing to hold on our faith in Christ, our conviction for God? So he knows their affliction, and also he says, I know your poverty. I think that's in result of being persecuted, then this Christian became so poor. But even though they were poor physically, but God says, but you are rich people. I like that. Even though I don't have position in this world, but I pray and I challenge each one of us that we will be rich in God. Our faith, our conviction will always be like God is our strength, is our hope. So it says, I know your poverty, but you are rich in God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then it says, I know your accuser. First, he tells them that I know your afflictions, persecution. I know you are poor. And then says, I know the person or the cause of your problem. Satan, the accuser. The slanderer. Who are the slanderer? This group of people, they said they're Jewish. But actually, they're really not. As Paul says, only those who are Jewish, those who are circumcised in the heart. So maybe actually these people, they kind of say that they're Christian, but inwardly, they're not. So these are the ones that cause the problem with this real, truthful Christian or genuine Christian. And Jesus says, or God says, I know your accuser. I know you're going to go through all these trials. I know they're the cause of your troubles. I know they're going to put you in prison for 10 days. Why 10 days? I think that's just a word for completion. Maybe it can be a short period of time. Maybe it can be a long period of time. Because in the Bible it says, in 1,000 years, in God it says one day. We don't know. But God says, the devil is going to put you in prison for 10 days. Remember Daniel and his friends? When they're in Babylon, then they appear to the king and says, let's try this because we'll just eat vegetables and water. You test us and you will see the result. So the result after 10 days, they were healthy young men compared to the king's young men, people. They were eating the food from the king's table, and yet they compared them. The test came out. The Jewish young men, they're still in control. So regardless of how long, how short your hardships, difficulties in life is, God will take care of you. The Alpha and the Omega. The one who died and he rose again from the dead. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 22, it says, for then there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor even will unless those days had been cut short. No life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. In James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is a man who persevere under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, For momentary light, affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, for beyond all comparison. Romans 8:18, it says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And 1 Peter 1:6-7, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. Those are just promises like God revealed to us. When we go through our lives, trials and difficulties, and then it gives all you those. The trials, it just prepare us, purify us, consecrated us for God's use. The encouraging word that says, be faithful until dead, and I'll give you the crown of life. There is a bishop, Polycarp, says he died in that city, in Smyrna, for his faithfulness to the point of even death. And I think it will give the picture to that group of Christians that even death can occur when we are strong, when we are faithful to our God. I remember the story of Martin Luther when they tried to say, you can recant and then you'll be okay. Then Martin Luther said, how can I? Keep faithful unto even death for God, so that God will reward us with the crown of life. He who has an ear, says, let him hear what the Spirit says. Those we have, we call it a spiritual ear, to allow God to speak to us. Only God can give you that spirit, the gift of hearing. God can open up the closed doors of our hearts. He can only do it, not us. Anyone who has ear, let him hear what the Lord has said to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. He who overcomes will not face the second death. We know that all Christians, we're not going to face the second death. All those who are faithful to Christ, we're not going to face the second death. But those who profess to be a Christian, but yet really inwardly, they're not really Christians. And then if they're not repent, second death, they will face in life. What an encouraging word for us to hear. In the midst of trials we go in life, we face in our lives, but yet the God of universe, the God of love, the God who understands each one of us, He will come to our rescue. That's why it says, be faithful, for I am with you always.